majesty. Let all the earth rejoice. Let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice.
Words to a song. I'm going to ask y'all, and I saw all these faces and y'all's beautiful faces walking in this morning, and the Lord's been ministering all morning to many of us, sometimes even before the sun came up. But I just want us to ask each and every one, instead of doing a normal congregation, there's no other better way than to get our hearts and our minds and just release it to the Lord and be in one mind and one accord. So I'm going to ask them if they will. We're so blessed with our talent here, the praise team and the musicians and the choir and y'all. Let's just continue this. But before we go back into it, if you have a need this morning, there's something burdening your heart, if there's pain that you don't have an answer for, if you're going through a test first of the week, or you're in quarantine watching on live, and you're quarantined waiting on a procedure, there is an answer. There is a light in the darkness. There is someone knocking on the door of your heart saying, "Let me in." There is someone that loves you enough to tell us when we're wrong and to say, "You need to straighten up, or you need to give it to me." Or if it might be something else, he said, "You need to leave that alone and just turn your life over to me." Y'all go, Lord, in prayer with me this morning, and then we're just going to continue and just ask them, just sing this song again. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we praise your name, Lord, how great thou art. Lord, we just love you, dear Lord. We just praise you, dear Lord. We release to you everything that we are, dear Lord, and just want to just lift up your name with honor and glory. Dear Lord, we're not worthy, dear Lord, without your Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus, we thank you, dear Lord, for that precious blood that you shed for us, dear Lord, that now that we can come to the throne of grace, dear Lord, in your name and your name alone. Lord, you know the needs in this congregation this morning, Lord. You know the prayer requests, the losses, dear Lord, those situations that are unknown. But, dear Lord, we're placing them in your hands because, dear Lord, you say that if we'll release it to you, Lord, that you will clothe us, you will provide for us, the Lord, but most of all, you'll save us. And the Lord, it says that if we call on your name, that you'll come in and sup with us, and the Lord, and we with you. And the Lord, we give you all the honor and all the glory with this service this morning. The Lord, we ask you to bless our pastor, all the ministries that go forth, dear Lord. But most of all, the Lord, open up our ears, our hearts, and our mind as your word is read. And the Lord, that we would just be give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Now let's just worship the Lord this morning. Just want to praise the Lord this morning. Y'all heard my heart. I just want to... Just say that God is so great.
I've got to testify. You didn't hear me when I hollered.
Oh, that's all right. I was
like,
listen.
I'm
married.
That's all you are. I'm going to tell y'all how great our God is. Y'all know. Wait. Praise God.
Touch your Lord.
We've been praying for this little 2.5-year-old girl. I'm telling you what, our God is awesome. Yeah. How about to stand back there when you come up here? But let me tell y'all something. This little girl was supposed to stay in the coma for a week, and she didn't. This little girl, they told her mama, y'all don't get excited, because she's only got a 20% chance to live. He said, say if she goes to plunging, that's it. But let me tell you something about God.
Amen.
This little girl did not stay in the coma, no way. This little girl has reached out to her mama. This little girl has opened her eyes.
Praise the Lord.
This little girl was throwing pajamas off the bed. This little girl right here has got the tubes taken out of her head. This is how great our God is. Yeah. Man. So we pray and we believe.
Yeah, that's right.
So it was either last night or today, and she keeps doing good. They're going to take the restraints off of her so she can start sitting up and eating regular food. How awesome is our God?
Yeah.
Amen. He is great. He is worthy to be praised. Praise the Lord. Those testimonies of praise for those ears that don't know the Lord, that may be as close as they come to hearing about God. We need to continue to praise Him, continue to have those testimonies. And I'll go ahead and add to it the prayer request that I had put out from a situation that I know of a motorcycle wreck. The young man was, they were calling the family in, I guess it was Friday. And in the course of the family getting there and hearing those familiar voices because of the reasons they won't let people go see folks right now and all, the young man also opened an eye and he squeezed a hand and they were said that wouldn't happen. And that's God. And I'm hearing these testimonies from people. I'm not one to judge. Lord, I am not a judge. But I will say this. It just makes my heart just jump for joy that the ones that are talking about what God's done were folks that normally I wouldn't hear those type of words come out from.
Yes.
And that's what God can do. He can turn a situation just like we did in our prayers. We praise Him. He can turn darkness into light. He can turn, instead of calling it death, we can call it life.
Amen.
And that's what God gives. Love each and every one of you. Praise the Lord. I want to stop the Spirit working this morning. I know there's a message for us that we need to hear this morning. So we're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. I will say to the Man Banner brothers, looking at the calendar, trying to work things out, because the end of the month we got a lot of graduations and situations going on. We're going to do it the third Tuesday. I don't have the date in front of me, but I will get that posted this first of the week here and get that date to y'all so we can all join. I want to invite all the men, if you haven't got involved with Banner Brothers, we'd love to have you. Just come be part of us. Praise God, praise God. We just love the Lord. Any other announcements? All righty, praise the Lord. Brother Billy, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering, please? Yes, Lord. Amen.
is a journey we walk by faith. There will always be the mountains in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, it's hard to see. So just be brave and follow where He leads. You know, greater is the one who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful,
I raise a hallelujah Preaches, I just want to say that God is so good.
Amen.
I know y'all know Kevin's had a couple of surgeries lately, but and I praise God for bringing him through it. He's doing great. But one thing, you know, Kevin in the past when he was younger, he always had a problem with anesthesia. Every time he had to have surgery, and he's had a lot, he always quit breathing and they'd have to put him on a respirator. So he hadn't had any surgery since he was 15. And I told the doctors that, the anesthesiologist that, when he had his first surgery, April the 1st. And they said, well, we'll be prepared for that. He came out, did fine. They just used general anesthesia. He woke right up, no problem at all. So, you know, me in my flesh, I'm thinking, well, the second time, it's not going to work that way. I can't be that hopeful. Guess what? God did it again. You know, just for that one thing, I could shout all over this place just for that one thing. But God has brought him so far. And I thank God that he is taking care of his situation right now. It may not be what Eddie and I want, but one way or the other, God's got Kevin.
Amen.
And I just thank him so much for that. And thank y'all for all the prayers.
Amen. Amen. I could just sing.
Yeah.
I could just shout. Man. God is a God of miracles, folks. Man. What surprises us is routine to him.
That's right.
Hello.
Amen.
Yeah, well, what surprises us is just another miracle that God is able to perform. Amen. If we have the faith to believe, the Bible says all things are possible. Is all things possible with your God this morning? Amen. Give him praise.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, glory to God. You have your Bibles. Go with us this morning. Well, sure, I don't get many requests, but I'll fill that one. Amen. Praise God. How many know if we can't even walk without holding the hand? I don't even want to try.
That's right.
Amen. What a testimony this song is. I thought number one would surely be me. Thought I could be what I wanted to be. I thought I could build on life's sinking sand, but I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high, valleys too wide. Down on my knees I learned to stand. I can't even walk without you holding my hand. So very true. Thought I could do a lot on my own. Thought I could make it all alone. I thought of myself as a mighty big man, but Lord, I can't. If you know it, sing it with me, church.
I can't even walk without you holding my hand. That old mountain too high, the valley's too wide. Down on my knees, that's where I learned to stand. You hold it in my hand. Can't even walk without the Lord holding my
hand. I just feel his hand right now. Amen. I'm so thankful. Amen. And you know what? I'm glad I don't only feel it in church. I'm glad he's out there with me each and every day of my life to hold me up, to hold my hand, to lead me, and to guide me. God is so great.
so merciful. We could never, ever praise Him enough. But you know what? We're going to have an eternity to do that. How many's looking forward to that day when these old bodies won't wear out? We'll be not hampered by time schedules. Amen. But we'll just glorify and praise the Lord for an eternity. Amen. Praise God. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Glory. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let me see. I'm not a mathematician. That's 1, 2, 3, 4 miracles since Wednesday night or since. Amen. Glory to God. God ain't through yet. Amen. He's still in the healing business. My, my, my. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of 1 Peter, chapter number 3. Beginning with verse number 12. Thank you for standing for the reading of God's Word. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better if the will of God be so, that if you suffer for well-doing, than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls, were saved by water. Can we pray? Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we just want to thank you for your goodness, your mercy, for the many miracles, God, that you've wrought. Father, for the blessings that you still have in store for this congregation and for your people. Father, I ask you now, God, to anoint these lips of clay. God, use this vessel, Lord. Let the Holy Ghost speak to us today. God, give us that we need. Direct our paths, God. We pray, Lord, for those who are still sick, those who may be afflicted. Father, we ask you to reach out and touch them even as we pray. Father, a very special prayer for those who are lost and unconcerned, those who need salvation in their lives. God, I pray that you would touch them. I pray that you would draw them to an altar of repentance. Now, God, just have your will and way, and we'll be careful to give you praise, honor, and glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Tell somebody you love them, and you may be seated.
Praise God.
Amen. That ought to be the easiest thing in the world for a Christian to do, is tell somebody that you love them. Amen. Because it doesn't matter, because the Bible tells us we're supposed to love everybody. Before I get into this message this morning, entitled Unyielding Heart. Unyielding Heart. I want to ask the indulgence of those of you who are saved and filled with the Spirit of the Lord that you would allow me this time to convey what I feel that the Lord has been dealing with my heart and my spirit. If it seems like I have gotten into a pattern of preaching repentance and salvation, it is simply because I have gotten into a pattern of preaching repentance and salvation. Bible said it's not the well that need a physician, but the sick. So if you've heard this message before, please indulge me. If you have heard this message before and have not answered the call, please answer the call before it's everlasting too late. If in fact you know someone, if in fact you're related to someone, or work with someone who has not heeded the call for salvation, pray with me that God would prick their hearts and bring them to salvation before it's everlasting too late. again, unyielding heart. Bear with me while I read some of my thoughts this week. I asked the question, what could be the reasoning for not answering and obeying the call of God? We know that the call to repent and receive salvation through the shed blood of Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb of God, is the promise of eternal home in heaven, and it should outweigh any and all excuses for not being born again and accepting Christ Jesus as our Savior. However, many souls still possess an unyielding heart. When speaking of the heart, actually, we are referring to the soul or spirit of man and woman. We must experience conviction in our heart in order to realize the need for repentance. The definition of unyielding basically is won't give, won't bend, stubborn, obstinate, unwilling to yield. I don't know about you, but I've experienced that in my past. I'm not proud to say, in fact, I confess that I did not heed the call of God the first time that I felt the urging of His Spirit. I was blessed to be born in church. I was blessed to be raised in church. But that didn't save me. That didn't prepare me for eternity, although it laid some groundwork. But thank God that I heard the message and the call to repentance, and my heart was convicted, and I answered the call at an old-fashioned altar. Amen. The reason the altar is referred to as old-fashioned is because it's like God. It never changes. Amen. It is still a place of repentance. It is still a place to pour your heart out to God. It is still the best place that I know. Amen. When we feel like we're all alone and we feel like we have no hope, how many knows we have a right to come to the altar of God? Not only is it for the unsaved, not only is it for the unrepentant, but I found out the altar is for those who are full of the Spirit of the Lord as well. I take advantage because the veil was torn from the top to the bottom. Give me an invitation to come to the altar of God, and I certainly have to take advantage of it. I find peace, I find solace, I find comfort and strength at the altar of God. It's not necessarily this wooden structure. How many is thankful for that? There's a song that says, I find my altar anywhere I find to kneel. Amen. It can be on a mountaintop, it can be in a valley. It can be in the living room of my home. It can be in the behind the steering wheel as I drive down the road. Many, many times I have taken advantage of that altar to ask the Lord for His guidance. The message of salvation. The message. How many is thankful that you heard the message of salvation? Has not been modernized, by the way. It is not outdated, nor is it completely old-fashioned. Amen. It still works. Tide several years ago became intensified. The Holy Ghost didn't need to be intensified. I said the Holy Ghost came down with power. So much power that 120 people in the upper room had no idea what they was about to receive. They just went on the voice of Jesus, said, go ye and tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Amen. I'm so thankful that we can tarry until the Spirit of the Lord sends us power down from heaven. Power so much, amen, glory to God, that we can be overcomers of any obstacle that we face. The message of salvation is a comforting message. It pricks our heart, it points out our sinful nature, and it also points us to a forgiving God. Can I get a hand clap of praise for a forgiving God? I don't know about you, but I needed forgiveness. I was guilty. Man, I was guilty and I knew it. And because of the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, I confessed my guilt at an altar and received forgiveness and received salvation from a loving Savior. But even though the message of salvation has been preached for many, many years, some of you may be around my generation, but I can't remember a time when the message of salvation was not preached. It's always been preached. Enough of the sermons have gone out from Holy Ghost-filled preachers and evangelists and prophets, amen, to save the entire world. But yet there seemingly are those who are unyielding, who will not give in, who will not give up, who become stubborn and steadfast in their own ways. Still some refuse or ignore the call. I will not ask you to raise your hand. I will not ask you to even acknowledge with a nod. But I will ask you this question, not being judgmental, but do you know someone in your life that for some reason still has an unyielding heart? They may not be a bad person. In fact, they may be a very good person. But we all know, those of us who have come to the altar of repentance, knows that goodness alone will not cause us to enter into heaven. Amen. There's not a soul on this earth other than Jesus Christ who could ever be good enough or perfect enough to go to heaven without the remission of sin and the forgiving and the amazing grace of an almighty God. If you're thankful again, acknowledge that with a hand clap of praise. Glory. What are the causes, we might ask, of an unyielding heart? I would dare say there's probably too many reasons to list or discuss at this time. Probably as many people as we know, there's probably that many reasons or excuses for not yielding or answering the call to repentance. Again, I ask the indulgence of those of you who are born again, and thank God that you are. Amen. There's going to be a time of rejoicing. I know that sometimes it is a false concept that when we are born again, our troubles are over. Amen. We've preached that time and time again. You know, that seems like when Satan jumps on us, the greatest. That's when it seems like he wants to pull us down the worst. It's when we have made a commitment to Christ, to follow Christ, not just to sit still because we got saved, amen, but we got saved and filled with the power, amen, to preach to the nations, to go out and compel them to come, amen, to share the gospel of Christ, to live as an ambassador of God. The devil doesn't like that. So certainly he's going to give us as much grief as he thinks he can give us. But how many knows greater is he that is within us? Amen. Stronger than he that's in the world. Greater than he that comes against us. Amen. I have to remind Satan a lot of times when he comes huffing and puffing at my door. Amen. I remind him that God is within me. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When that doubt, when that fear, when all of those anxieties come against me, I have something within me. Hallelujah. That's greater than anything that can come against me, not because of me, but all because of him, because of his love, because of his power, because of his healing, because he loves us. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God.
Who would not want that? Who would not desire that? There is billions of dollars spent annually on relief medicines and drugs and situations and things to ease a person's life, to even give comfort to a troubled mind. Whew. You know, as we're looking over the health and drug aisle, I would love to see something called Holy Ghost.
But we know you're not going to find it in a supermarket. You're not going to find it in a drugstore. You're not going to find it on the streets of Villarica. But it can be found at an altar, that whatever ails you can be redeemed at the altar of repentance.
Hallelujah. But yet there's still some who have not answered the call. Allow me just a little time, if you would. The first thing that I mentioned or listed was those who are agnostic or atheistic. Just to remind us, that are those people who claim that there is a disbelief that there is the very existence of God. And it always amazes me that they use the very breath of God, which is on loan. It's not yours. It's not mine. Thank God for the voice. Thank God for the breath. But the agnostic or the atheistic person will use the very breath that God breathed into their nostrils and made them to become a living soul to verbalize that there is no God. And because of that atheistic or agnostic belief, they have an unwielding heart or an unyielding heart. They are adamant in their stance that since there is no existence of God, why do I need to change my life? And I would greatly say that that group of people is very difficult to reach with the message of the cross. Because we're talking about the amazing love of God. We're talking about the forgiveness of a loving Savior in which they say is non-existent. And they begin to say things, if he was existent, why is there trouble in the world? Why is there the murder rate high? Why is there so much addiction in the world? If God was really alive and well, he would not allow that to happen. I want to remind this congregation that God in his infinite wisdom and his creatability only gave humanity the right to choose what they want for their life. None of his other creation was allowed to do that. An oak tree, this is good teaching by the way, an oak tree can't suddenly decide, I want to be a pine. Ooh, some of y'all got that. Some of you still in the woods. Amen. A rose bush can't suddenly decide after years of putting forth thorns and roses that all of a sudden it wants to be a daisy. And that's about as far as I'm going with that. Folks, listen. God doesn't make mistakes. You are exactly what he wanted to make of you. Accept it. Be the very best that you can. Give your life, your soul, your heart to Jesus. Amen. Quit trying to be something that you're not. But this group is hard to reach because there's a disbelief in the very existence of God. Little did they know that because there's trouble in the world, that because sin is in the world, God made a perfect world. Man caused it to be imperfect. That's not God's fault. That's man's fault. But he died for the unjust. He died for the lost soul. He died for me. He died for you. And I got news for you, agnostic disbeliever. He died for you as well. And he would accept you if you would come to an altar of repentance. There's another group of people. The I'm good enough believers. And those people are very judgmental because they say they're good enough because they determine that by watching other people. Oh, I've heard it.
I'm as good as most Christians. Better than some. But you know, I'm responsible, but lost. You see, the difference between you and those Christians is they realized they wasn't good enough. They realized they couldn't get to heaven just by good morals and all and good standing. They realized that because they were born into a sinful world, and they realized because they had a body of flesh, they had to come to an altar of repentance. They had to have a loving Savior who died on the cross of Calvary to forgive them and heal them and bless them and save them. Are we perfect? No, but wait till you see my next body. Glory to God. It's going to be a perfect body fashioned by the hands of the Lord. But because of my imperfection, a perfect God saved me, filled me with His Spirit. No, I'm never good enough. I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. I need Him every day of my life. I call on Him constantly. Amen. But I am so thankful when I lay my head on my pillow at night, not because I've been a good person, not because I've been a good husband, not because I've been anything, but because I made it right in an altar of repentance. And Jesus Christ is alive and well in my soul today. Because I yielded my heart to Jesus. There's a third group of people of which I, unfortunately, was a group. I was in this group for many years. I formed a comfort zone in this group. And this group is the not now crowd. You know any of those? Not now. Those are the people that realize they're lost. And realize that, and probably have heard messages after messages about the receiving of the Spirit of the Lord, the forgiveness of our life through the amazing grace of God, but for some reason are not quite ready yet to live that lifestyle. I was one of them. I knew at some point I was going to get right. Because I'd heard about grace. I had heard about forgiveness. My granddaddy preached repentance, infilling of the Spirit of the Lord, a change of life. Can I be honest with you? I wasn't ready for that change of life. I went to church with mom and dad, sat on the pews, heard about the coming of the Lord, but I didn't believe it was going to be in my teenage years or my lifetime. I'll get ready. I'll be like that worker that come into the field in the 11th hour. There are so many people taking advantage of that. And God's grace and mercy will save that person at the 11th hour. But I'm saying, why in the world do you want to show up that late? What if you was on I-20 westbound? Over the bridge this morning, there was people out of their cars sitting on the railings just twiddling their thumbs. Told Penny, they're going to be late for church. Man, if we could get that many in church, it would be great. But I was one of them. Not now. Not now. Look, I'm all right, Mom. I know. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get it done. Amen. And many folks are like that today. There would be maybe easier to reach than maybe the two prior groups because they have an understanding that they need to be saved. They need to be born again. It's just not at the convenient time. I'm just not ready. And you know what? Unfortunately, there's a lot of those groups of people who are regular church attendees. Amen, brother. I'll do it myself. Unfortunately, many churches are filled with those people who are not ready. We want to associate with the saved, be around the saved. Man, when my granddaddy used to preach in Revelation, I'd slide over my mother. But you know how many knows you can't get to heaven on mother's salvation? So thank God He spared my life long enough for me, amen, to make the decision to come and do it individually. How many knows that the Lord is an individual Savior? He doesn't do it by groups. Man, he just doesn't say, okay, because your mom and dad's okay, all of you make it to heaven. No, it's an individual matter. The not now crowd, things that I've heard, I'm having too much fun. I'm too young. You know what I say when I'm too young? I say, when's the last time you visited a big, large cemetery and walked around? And you see all ages, some very, very young ages who have already said goodbye to this life. Man, don't use that excuse, I'm too young. Don't use that excuse that the devil say, oh, you'll have to give up too much fun. You'll have to. No, you won't. You don't know fun until Jesus Christ comes into your life. Glory to God. I was kind of this, Lord, it'll ruin my social life. Them girls out there, they want a Holy Ghost filled person. I don't know about you, but sure, the school I grew up in, these girls like these rebellious people. These men. These with a thug attitude. Have you ever seen a Holy Ghost filled teenager roll up his t-shirt on his arms like that and hold it out the window trying to look like he's a thug? It don't work. If you say, people's going to know it. They're going to see it. I don't care how you dress. I don't care how you present yourself. If the Holy Ghost is in you, it's going to come out. You're going to be known as a child of God. And that's all right. I'm glad to be known as a child of God. I'm not here to please the world. I'm not here to fit into the world. I'm not here to condone sin. I'm here to preach the Word of God so that everybody I come in contact can go to heaven through the salvation of a loving Savior. And then 4 is very similar to 3. Those who are afraid or concerned about peer pressure. You see, I work in this environment. Yeah. Well, I kind of have to sort of go along with them. Oh, yeah, really? Well, yeah, because to get a chance of advancement, sometimes I'm asked to do things I don't really agree with. But in order to further my advancement in the company, I just go along with it. You know what? Satan has decided and realized that if he is more deceitful and manipulative rather than huff and puff and blow the door down strong, that he'll reach more people. Oh, you don't have to do all of that. Just go along with it. Just don't say nothing. Just act like you're one of them. I remember when I got saved, born again, and tried to go back to school and tried to act like one of them. I felt, how many has ever felt like you a square peg trying to be put in a circular board? I felt like that. I really did, you know, and I was just kind of, yeah, but my heart was tugging at me. Come ye out from among them. Doesn't mean turn your back on them. That just means don't get involved with what they're doing. Young people, one of the most courageous and bravest things that you can do as a child of God is just say no. You don't have to explain. You don't have to give them a reason. No, that's not for me. That's not for me. Well, I won't fit in. Thank God. Why would you want to fit in with that crowd? Get around some saved folks. Get around somebody that loves you for who you are and for what you are. And don't try to be like the world. That's a dead end road. They're concerned about peer pressure. And finally, I want to leave you with this. The fifth one that I mentioned are those who feel that they've been too bad. That they've been too big of a sinner. And as I was listening, trying to write down as God was speaking to my heart, I instantly, when I wrote that down, I thought, Lord, would be the easiest group to reach. And there's a lot of truth in that. Because part of the process of repentance is realizing that you have been too bad. That you have been sinful. That you have been lost. Because if you're agnostic, you're going to have a hard time repenting. If you feel like you're good enough, it's going to be very difficult. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like him. I do this and I do that. Not him. The Bible says he went away more justified. Why? Because he realized he was lost. And I thought, Lord, these people might be the easiest to approach with the message of the cross. And I certainly hope you don't tire of hearing the message of repentance. If you've heard it for a million times, praise God for it. Because it finally dawned on us. We need it. But there may be somebody, one, in fact, that's in the congregation, who if they've heard it, have not heeded it. And this may be their day. Amen. So that's our reason I ask for the indulgence of those who are born again and saved again. I mean, if you're born again and saved again, we can shout over any message. Oh, Eddie, we got to be pumped up. We got to be motivated. I'm going to motivate you. The blood of Jesus will wash away all of your sins. The blood of Jesus will change that old heart into a fleshy heart. The blood of Jesus will loose you and set you free. The blood of Jesus will give us an eternal home. That ought to make everybody shout. Hallelujah. When we have been the recipients of the blood of Jesus and applied to our lives, they feel like God can't forgive them because they're still that memory of the things that they have done. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that God forgave me. I don't know about you, but I had a wheelbarrow full. I was with Trey yesterday. I went back a long way. That's a long trip. I went back in my childhood when I was with him. And we were building a hut. So we were cutting these twigs to have a lean-to and all that. And then he wanted to gather a lot of leaves. And he had a pan like this, and he was gathering the leaves as I would cut them down. And he said, Papa, we need a wheelbarrow. And I said, well, yeah, we got one, but it's down at the neighbor's house. It's full of rocks where they were going to pick up. Well, hey, we need to go. I said, no, I'm not going to unload them rocks just for a wheelbarrow. We'll just take them a little bit. I needed a wheelbarrow full when I dumped it on the altar of repentance. Amen. I realized by that time that I couldn't hold back on one or two and try to hide them. That's not repentance. That's a guilty conscience. Amen. If you want your guilty conscience purged, lay it all down. Every one of them. And you'll find a merciful Savior who will forgive you of every single one. But I've talked to some, say, oh no, he'll never forgive me. I said, that's where you're wrong. I said, you're having a hard time forgiving yourself, and you may never forgive yourself, but Jesus will. He came to forgive and save them that are lost. So don't give me that excuse that you've been too bad, that you've been too evil, that you've committed too much in your life. You are the very one who needs to come to repentance. And I will say again, I believe that group of people will be easier to reach with the message of the cross than maybe the four groups ahead of them. Not saying that those four groups are impossible. We serve a possible God who specializes in the impossible. Some of us may have been in some of those higher groups. But we need to focus on all the groups. But I would urge us to pay special attention to those who are beating themselves up, saying that I'm not good enough. I couldn't fit in. I couldn't live that lifestyle. None of us could without the Spirit of the Lord. Man, that's the reason that the law had to have a new covenant. That's the reason. God saw that no man could live by the extenuating circumstances of the law. There had to be grace and mercy. And thank God that He gave us grace and mercy. This is the group that might be the easiest to reach. What are some examples of unyielding heart? How about the people in Noah's time? When sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God, did God have to suffer long with us? He did with me. But thank God, He's a God of second chances. He just didn't give me one call and hang up. He kept calling and calling. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a preparing. Talking so many times about Noah and his family building the ark, but there was a lot of people that could have entered that ark as well. But for an unyielding heart. They ridiculed him. They laughed at him. They said, it'll never happen. It's never rained. It's never going to happen. There's people saying, oh, the Lord's never going to come back. I've been hearing that all my life. It's even closer now than when we realized. Not only did the people of Noah's time have an unyielding heart, but the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you would look at the news and read the current events today, and you're a Christian, you'd say, you know what? It's a little bit like Sodom and Gomorrah's time. And you know what I'm referring to. It's prevalent in today's time. Pharaoh! The Bible said his heart was hardened. But God sent Moses and Aaron anyway, even though he knew that Pharaoh's heart would be hardened. Pharaoh didn't truly repent. Come on, there's a story there. He halfway repented because of all the plagues that were sent upon him because of the death angel. So he let the people go, but his heart wasn't in it. There's a message there, and I'm not going to take time to preach that one, but I'm just kind of full of the repentance sermons. Amen. But Pharaoh halfway repented because he didn't want to suffer the consequences. So he said, get on out here. But no sooner had they got out in the wilderness, he changed his heart. That's not repentance. That's not getting up out of the altar just because you feel better and you still haven't given God all of those sins that are in your life. Amen, brother. Thank you, Brother Eddie. There was King Saul. King Saul. Man, anointed to be king of Israel. But he had a troubled spirit. Man, that's not repentance either. Come on. Ooh, I don't know if I need to say that. Come on, you can sit in the palace of God. Come on. You can sing with the elders. You can shout victory. But if you have a troubled spirit that you have not released to God, that's not true repentance. Amen. And finally, I want to leave you with this one. The rich young ruler, full of good intentions, was moved by the life and the ministry of Christ, wanted to be a follower. But Jesus looked past what he said and looked into his heart. And a lot of people say, oh, that means you can't have money and serve God. No. You just can't have money to be your God. Nothing can come between us and God. And Jesus knew. He said, okay, fine. You want to follow me? Go and sell that you have and come and follow me. He said, oh, he went away sorrowfully. That close to repentance. Dear Jesus, so close to repentance. But he went away sorrowful. And you know the sorrowful part of that? We never find recorded whether he ever came back to Jesus. Maybe he did. Hopefully he did. But if you're here today, if you're not taking full advantage of God's grace and His mercy, not realize that when Jesus was on the cross, He died for you. He shed His blood for you, for me, for those of us, whatever group we may be in. And maybe we're not in any of those groups. Maybe we just hadn't got around to it. Let me tell you, around to it's hard to find. I've looked in the hardware store and I ain't found one yet. Some people will never get around to it. But listen, folks, as that breath leaves your body, that is how we're going to face eternity. And I want to leave you with that. Every moment that you put off is one more minute closer to where you'll spend eternity. It may not seem like moments are precious now, but on your dying bed, moments are very, very precious. Sometimes it can happen in the twinkling of an eye. And even if we don't go by the way of the grave, there is going to be a splitting of the eastern sky and a catching away of the saints. I want to be ready. I got to be ready. I can't miss it. I can't miss it for the world. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I really feel that I have delivered what God laid upon my heart. I knew when God was speaking to me, it's probably not a shouting message. But I believe with all of my heart it's a needful message. I believe it's a needful message of our churches and our pastors today and our ministers to get the word out. Come on, let's don't sugarcoat the cross. Let's don't sugarcoat the message of repentance. Let's tell it like the Bible says. Man. And I want to tell you, it wasn't good feelings that got me to the altar. It was the realization that I could be lost forever that pricked my heart. And I took advantage of a loving God and a saving Christ Jesus who died for me. Saints of God, while you're praying, every head respectfully bowed, every eye closed, I give you this opportunity to make certain that you're right with God. As I said earlier, this altar is not just for the lost. It's for each and every child of God. If you're not certain, if you're not sure, that if you left this walk of life today, you're not certain of where you would spend eternity, don't put it off. Don't be in one of those groups. Be in one of the groups that born again, ready to go. When the trumpet sounds or when I close my eyes in death, whichever the case may be, that you will know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going home with Jesus. Is there one today? Please, I'm going to ask you, nobody looking around, nobody opening their eyes, bow in reverence to the Spirit of the Lord that's here. If, in fact, you want Brother Eddie to pray for you, I will not come and get you. I promise, but I will pray for you. If you would just lift your hand, let this pastor see that you need prayer. God bless those hands. I love you and God loves you. And I pray, amen, as we pray this week, you pray with Brother Eddie that God will meet those needs for you. May God bless you. If I don't see you again on this earth, I want to see you in heaven.
In one of those groups. Amen. That's good too, that we can come to the altar on behalf of a loved one. For whatever reason has not made that choice yet. But I pray this will be the day. This will be the day. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, God, as we come on behalf of this brother, God, who by his own admissions is wasting his life, Father, I pray that your love, your mercy, and your grace will prick his heart. God, draw us to an old-fashioned altar of repentance, God. Lord, honor the prayers right now, God, of Sister Tabitha, on behalf of her brother, save him right now, Lord. God calls him to realize his glory.
Mercy.
Please.
in mercy won't do.
Mercy won't end.
the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for mentioning her name. Absolutely.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, as we started this morning, just about how great God is, just keeps being just magnified and magnified. May we lift Him up and honor Him, not only in words, but also in deeds. Let's just place it in His mighty hands. Amen. All hearts and minds clear. Praise God. Well, you know how great God is, and He keeps getting better, and those miracles keep even just getting more numerous and numerous. Come back tonight. See what God has in store for us tonight. Amen. Love each and every one of you. Those watching online, we love you. I ask you if you've got a prayer request or if you have a need, just place it in the comment column. If you've turned your life over to God today, just please just state it in there. Just because to give glory to God. It's not First Pentecostal. It's all about Him. We just love the Lord this morning. Praise God. Well, with this prayer, we'll be dismissed or take an intermission. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Dear Lord, for the price that you paid for each and every one of us, dear Lord, for that gift of salvation that you're offering everyone, dear Lord, may we just turn our lives over to you and our situations. Lord, we just want to give you all the honor and glory. And again, we thank you, dear Lord, for all in attendance. Keep us safe. Bring us back at our appointed time, dear Lord, not only here, those online and those that are in the children's church this morning. Lord, we give you again the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon.